This is Twit.
What the hell is going on at Blizzard? Holy cow. What a mess. So, Father Robert, you're a gamer. I'm a gamer. I understand that there's a certain bro culture, I guess, that's sprung up in gaming. You don't have to look any farther than Gamergate to know how toxic it can become. I would hope that big companies like Blizzard and would be aware of this and do something about this. It appears that they really aren't, and they are in such deep doo-doo this week. Employees walking out. They now say Kotick, their CEO, apologizes for their tone-deaf response, promises action. This, of course, in the light of a lawsuit against them and a walkout for equality among employees. I don't know if I'm going to take very seriously what he promises. The World of Warcraft is going to remove inappropriate references in Inside WoW. Oh, my gosh. But this was the story that, to me, showed that they have a kind of a systemic problem.
It wasn't just that bad things happened. It wasn't just the fact that there's a culture in gaming that is misogynistic and it's just not very inclusive. It was the fact that they doubled down on it. So when they were confronted by their employees, they went on the offensive and they essentially said, look, you're blowing this out of proportion. And they made a not so subtle threat that if you protest, you could say goodbye to advancement. You're not going to be moving forward or and above in this company. That's not how you keep your talent base. Google what that does.
They need an HR department that actually works. They need some counsel. This was the thing, the Kotaku story, that really blew the lid off it for me. Inside Blizzard developers' infamous Bill Cosby suite. So this goes back to BlizzCon 2013. So many nasty things. There's so many nasty stories.
By the way, it's Cosby and not Crosby. Yes. There's a switch over in the middle of the article.
Isn't that the funniest thing? Well, it was because in the lawsuit, it said the Bill Crosby suite throughout. Obviously, that was a mistake of the lawyers. It was the Cosby suite. We know that because there's a big picture of Bill Cosby. There you go. And also in that picture, the former developer, Alex Afrasiabi, who was, I think, the poster boy for how this bad behavior. There's also in this Kotaku article a chat thread that I don't even want to read with Afrasiabi and some others. Just appalling. Apparently, Alex...
has to do with pudding pops, I think.
Pudding, yeah. Jello pudding pops. It has to do with asking every woman he meets to marry him. And I put that in air quotes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that was 2013, but it didn't stop. In fact, Blizzard initially said, oh, yeah, we called it the Cosby suite because the carpet at the hotel room looked like a Cosby sweater. But then when Blizzard moved, they moved the Cosby suite conference room, and it had no ugly wallpaper, no ugly carpet, and they still called it the Cosby suite. I can't even go on with this. It's appalling. Well, how does this happen? I mean, Caroline, you consult companies on this. How does this happen that a company gets so far down this rabbit hole that they don't even know how bad it is? You know, they don't understand how bad it is.
There's so many things at play here. You know, when I first read the story, I went through all the details that were shared, and it was disgusting and shocking. And then I saw the answer, and that actually got me angry and more disgusted, because how you respond to a lawsuit and is not dismissing what, you know, few tens of employees have been saying over a period of time. And if you look at the response from the CEO, is, you know, this is the when somebody apologizes about how you feel. It's the same response, right? It's not, we've done something wrong. We are sorry that you feel that way. That we're sorry that, you know, you've been uncomfortable. Well, no, you should be sorry for what you've done. And clearly, you know, tell me what you're going to do differently. And the how you get here, I think, is the culture. And the fact that if you're looking at, you know, men in tech, and the bro culture is being glorified and for so long that that's where you don't create check and balances, right? Is because you can't do anything wrong. It's just, oh, that's, you know, boys will be boys. And I won't mention, you know, what things, what was it? Was it the locker room talk for a president?
Yeah.
You know, that is what happens. That is the culture that some company create where boys will be boys. And at the same time, if you're, you know, somebody that is important to the company, you get away with stuff. And, you know, Faber talked about Google, and that's, you know, Andy Rubin and what happened there.
Yes.
You know, is,
and he got, what, $92 million to quit. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard, and things are changing, but not everywhere. And I think, you know, I wrote about esports years ago, like 3-4 years ago, about how much misogyny and racism there is in esports and gaming across the board. And I'm curious, I've been toying with the idea of writing about this. I'm curious about how, you know, the democratization of gaming, if you like, with things like Xbox Pass and PCs becoming now such an important part of gaming for so many different people, will drive a better culture because the audience is going to be different and better and more diverse. And so if you want to be successful, you're going to have to cater for that. And I think that's the other component, is that for years, you're talking to people that believe in bro culture, that actually high five, you know, some of this behavior. You've not had to face the reality of this is appalling.
I wonder if some of this is because people at the top thought, oh, this is what we have to do to get a good developer team together for this game. This game is a billion-dollar game. We want it to continue to succeed. We're going to have to put up with this kind of behavior because that's what's going to take. I think there might be some of that. There might be some feeling that, yeah, these guys, look, programmers aren't notorious for their manners or their you know, ability to be in public. Maybe they thought this is just the price we pay. We just put them, we isolate them. Let them go. I mean, there are a lot of women who play World of Warcraft. Felicia Day is famous for her guild. It seems like they must think this is necessary, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I got a lot of opinions on this.
I bet you do, Wesley. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, first, Carolina, what she was talking about, I agree with her in terms of, like, the people in power stay in power because that's what they perpetuate.
Right.
But just counter to what you're saying, I have to say, where you're saying they need an HR department that works. And it sounds like their HR department works, and it works very well. And that is to protect the company.
To protect
the protected people.
Yeah.
So that is why the California body had to come down on them so hard, is because they were not regulating themselves, because that's what they didn't really care to.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that they felt as if they didn't know this was happening. I bet they knew and they encouraged it. And like she was saying about the apology.
I don't know if they
encouraged
it, but that's what I'm wondering, if there was this notion that, oh, you just have to put up with that because that's, if we're going to have the best developers, that's what it's going to be like.
Well, that shows, like, that sounds like a piece of empathy of them concerned, which I don't think that they had. It feels like this is
that
company
lazy.
That
they didn't even. Yeah. It wasn't even like, oh, we should do something about it, but we can't.
It
was, we don't need to do anything about this.
We don't. And
how do we keep from getting discovered? How do we keep from getting sued? Not,
yes,
let's fix it.
Yeah. And so HR has been getting them out of this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's HR's real
Amazon's
job,
been
by
getting,
the way, is to keep you from getting sued. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they've been getting away with this for years. And so why not keep going? If they are able to ride that lightning this whole entire time and have fun doing it, they don't care about other people. And diversity in the user base does help. But someone once said to me, like, plantations were very diverse. But it's like, you got it's the people who had the power that gets to choose, like, how things get run.
Oh, my God, you're right. Yeah, a lot of diversity in the plantation. So
wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Caroline.
I was going to say one other thing that is different is what we've seen as far as the power that now employees have to go out and talk and be open and, you know, to all the downsides of social media. There is a one plus as far as having a platform to go out and share your story and coming together. You know, think about back years ago, this wasn't possible. You know, this is behaviors like this have been going on, not just in the tech industry, but
everywhere.
You know, legal, politics.
Watch Mad Men and you'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. You wouldn't know about it, right? Because to the point that Wesley was making about HR looking after the company, you know, settlements are made, things are done, life is made miserable, and nobody knows about it. Now that's no longer the case.
I also think that some of this is if you have a few bad actors where it's tolerated and almost they're encouraging you, a lot of men are in the middle who will just go along with it, even though it might be against their better instincts, but it's just the way it is, so they're going to go along with it. So a lot of this has to do with getting rid of the bad actors and setting a corporate culture where it's not okay, because the vast majority of men, I don't think men are inherently bad, I think the vast majority of men will behave if the culture encourages it and discourages bad behavior. Does that seem I'm trying to defend men. Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, you don't necessarily have to defend them because they're you have to remember that some of these people, it's just a job. They really don't care about the corporate culture. They're not hanging out with these people. They're not trying to invest their lives in this. This is something they do so that they can get paid, so they can live the life the way that they want. And so for them, you know, this is not something that they want to invest their personal lives. It's strictly a professional issue. But there are some other issues that that come to play here. There's the fallacy of the 10x worker. As you said, there are certain people that you have to protect no matter how bad their behavior might be.
Because they're so good.
Because they're brilliant. Because they're the ones who push through a project. However, we've come to see that sometimes a 10x worker is really just a person who's really good at pushing down everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why they seem 10x.
Yeah.
There's also the fallacy of the sunk cost, that you've gone so far with a certain style of leadership and a certain style of project management that you can't change it, otherwise you lose all your investment in that style. So you've got this very strange confluence of things like the 10x worker and the sunk cost and the people who really don't care about corporate culture, and you get Blizzard. You get this nightmare of you've got legacy misogyny that they think is not a cultural issue, it's a PR problem.
It's so ugly. Wesley, do you defend programmers? You work with a lot of them. You work with developers. They're not bad people.
I mean, they're people. They're people. You get all kinds, right?
Yeah. But I think the notion that, you're going to have to put up with some of this to get the best people is mistaken. I think that you set the culture. Look, nobody's saying men can't be attracted to women. Nobody's saying you can't in your mind think these horrific thoughts, but you need to create a culture in the workplace where it just doesn't get expressed that you treat people with respect and you push down your animal instincts.
There's a book that I read that kind of talks through this evolution of a company, but it's from a leadership perspective. It's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
Oh, good.
It's a really great book. I would read it if you haven't already. But there's a lot of like, this is how we operate, so we're going to keep going without reevaluating how you got there and what you need to do to get to the next level. And one part of that is that when it talks about a vacuum of power or power or leadership, if you don't expressly say what you're for and what you're against and what you should do and what you should not do, in the space of that, in that vacuum of power, people take that power.
Yes.
They'll step into that role, and sometimes those people shouldn't. And there is, when there's a lack of leadership, that is, I would say, leaning towards the positive, then there is going to be someone who's going to abuse it for their own means or use it to gain more power to get progression. And if that is rewarded, the company is what they reward. And if someone says, hey, you stepped up, doesn't matter if they crushed some skulls along the way. If they stepped up, that's leadership. You get a promotion, you get a bonus. And that's how these companies become this way, is because there is just, frankly, a vacuum of power for that's built based on like a noble good of how the company should be operated.
So this, I saw Mythic Quest. Is that what it's like?
I love that show.
Is that how it is working in a game company? Because if it is,
but I also think that we are at a time where, you know, to the point that Wesley's making about leadership, that there are a lot of leaders in tech who are just not equipped to deal with what new leadership require, yeah, which is empathy, which is, you know, really getting out of your comfort zone to understand somebody else that has a different background to yours.
Yeah.
You know, that is just what we haven't found a better way to talk about soft skill. I hate the term. But not a lot of people in tech have very good soft skill. You know, EQs are way lower than IQs in tech, you know, especially in leadership. And it's, I don't think it's just a, you know, you defending men, because it's not just a men problem. You know, we've seen leaders, female leaders, women leaders that have been bullying their employees and created an environment that is just not a healthy environment.
I think that's.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't believe this. I'm with the panel.
No, you're a priest. We understand.
So
but go ahead.
Okay.
Take the side of the devil. Go ahead.
If I am an investor, if I am an executive who is invested in Blizzard, I listen to this and I'll say, look, at the end of the day, I need someone who can publish. I need someone who can code. I need someone who can push out the product on the specified date. I don't care about everything else. And if you can't work at my company because you don't like the culture, go someplace else.
I'm sure that's what There's exactly what happened. I will guarantee you that's what happened.
I think it's getting harder, though, for investors to just walk away from these problems, because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you from, you know, either a settlement perspective or a PR perspective. Yeah. And people don't forget. And especially when you're catering to markets where, you know, Gen Zers and you know, young millennials are part, a big part of your base. You're going to be to be very careful, because, you know, this generation is different from my generation, where, you know, we stuck with it. And even if we didn't think it was the right thing to do, talking about different things in e-commerce and so forth. But, you know, these people will walk away. I have a 13-year-old who is a gamer. They also are non-binary and mixed race. And so, you know, there are certain games and certain content that they would walk away, and environments that are becoming, you know, given that gaming is not just game, it's game and Twitch, and, you know, what the time you spend online with people in community that you build, that are very toxic.
Yeah, look at Basecamp.
And I believe that.
They rolled out.
Yeah, Basecamp.
No, I cut off. Yeah. Go, Father, please go.
Go, Father, go.
I just want to say that I believe that. And I believe that matters. And I believe that culture is something that's good, not just for a company, not just for the bottom line, but for society as a general. But the one statement that I would have difficulty with is that we remember, that we have long memories. We tend not to.
No.
I mean, maybe for That's a quarter true. Or two, but unless we can really show them
Just
that,
look
no,
at Facebook results,
this,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I mean, yes, we can protest for a quarter, maybe two quarters, maybe even hold a grudge for a year. But if I'm an investor, I think, look, I'll ride it out for 12 months and then we'll be back up to record profitability. I don't care.
Amazon is still one of the biggest employers in the country, right? I mean, even though it's a maybe sounds like a pretty awful job. This, in a way, is the larger question in general about capitalism. And it's not just about misogyny or misbehavior in the Cosby room. It's about the whether we care about financial results of a company more than we do about the company's impact on society. And unfortunately, we seem to reward companies for great financial results. But I hope that we're getting more and more aware of the consequences of, you know, how a company behaves and not looking merely at the bottom line. Because ultimately, a company's success has to be more than its quarterly result. It has to be whether they're a good citizen. I hope.
No, it's power that's entrenched. Like Caroline is talking about, like she probably says this, that if it was money, this problem would be solved. Because most companies that are built of diverse teams make more money and they are more profitable. So this is more entrenched power not being able to release itself rather than money. Because if you look at just general diversity, that those companies actually make more money. So it's not that. It's entrenched power that's not worth
it. Is that widely known, though? I mean, you say that.
Everybody that is, you know, in diversity, equity, and inclusion will tell you that a diverse team, a diverse company is more profitable, has higher engagement from the employee, has better, even innovation is fostered in a diverse environment because you tend to disagree more with one another, right? Because you're bringing different perspective into the conversation. The numbers are still what they are, which is very small. And I totally agree with Wesley that is about status quo and where the power is. And we going back to, you know, who we hire people that are like us. We hire people that we are comfortable with. If the problem is at the manager's level, then you're surrounding yourself with people that are like you. And that's where you get to a culture that does the things that we read. I don't know if you watch the video where the whole panel, so it was six of them, were asked about one woman stood up to the mic and asked the question, it would be great to have, you know, female characters in gaming that don't look like somebody who just stepped out of Victoria's Secret's catalog. And the answer to that question was, well, which catalog would you want them to step out from?
Oh, Lord.
And yeah, nobody said, and there were six men on that panel and they were laughing and nobody said anything. And that to me was just like the best, you know, 2 minutes, not even, of, yep, that's why we got to where we got to.